Thank you for all being here this morning, and I want to appreciate Matt for his words there, very passionate, reminding us of the suffering of Jesus, the terrible death that he endured on our behalf. Thank you, Matt. It's a blessing to come together on the first day of the week and to see each other. I really appreciate each one of you that is here. And I want you to know that, how much it means to Karen and I, each one of us, to see you here each week. I would like to remind us all of, we have some ways of being online and our presence online through our website, www.burienchurchofchrist.com. And we encourage you to use that and go to that and point friends to that if they have interest in the church or in God's Word. There are many lessons here. On the website, the lessons are in audio version, and just the sermons and the classes, mainly the sermons on the website. They can be also downloaded if you have on your device, a podcast app through Apple Podcasts. You can download our lessons to your device very easily through that. We also have our Facebook page where we have video lessons of our services. Both sermons and Bible classes are available there, and you can be a part of seeing the lessons and following along, and if you miss one, to go back and see it again. We also have on YouTube our page, Burien Church of Christ, there also, which Jim is adding lessons, video lessons, just the lessons itself. So we have a number of ways there that you can follow us and also use that as a way to help other people, the lesson material and teachings that we have here. It's our goal that we strive for in everything that we do here to present the truth of God's Word and to never make it about our own thoughts and opinions, but the Word of God and what God teaches in His Word, and not to add to it or take away from it, but to present clearly what the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God, teaches on these things. And as a result of that, be able to have a view of our understanding of God's will that is consistent to and faithful to Scripture itself. So this morning I would invite you to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, and we'll read several verses here and want to talk about the moment that your destiny changed. That is, those of you who are Christians, the moment that your destiny changed, we want to look at Scripture to see what the Scripture teaches about this. So in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, he said, "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the faith, who are called uncircumcision by those who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, That is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And the question I'm asking each of us this morning, where do we stand with God? Are we in Christ or are we without Christ? Today, as we gather here this morning, where do we stand with God? Are we separated from God or are we reconciled to God? Are we under condemnation or are we clothed with righteousness? And the answer to those questions depends upon our response to Jesus. Because it's when we have rendered our obedience to Jesus Christ through our faith that we can answer those questions positively, that we know that we are in Christ. We know that we are reconciled to God, and we know that we are clothed in righteousness and stand before God as righteous people on the basis of Jesus, who died for our sins and shed his blood. I want us to think this morning about those who, as we think of our conversion to Christ, can look back with certainty and identify, I know the exact moment in time when my destiny was changed, my relationship with God was changed. And being that we have several here who have recently been baptized into Christ, and I want to especially make sure that they understand, that each one of you understands this principle of what I am going to be saying in the lesson this morning. Because I can look back in my life over 50 years ago and know the moment when this was true in my life. And I believe that each one of us should be able to clearly identify that. That is not something vague. It is not something that we only have a feeling about. It's something that we can clearly point and identify. I know the moment when my destiny with God was changed. Now, as we think about our previous destiny, that is, where were we going to end up had it not been for the decision we made and the relationship we have now with Christ? What was my previous destiny going to be? And the Bible answers that for us and helps us to understand where we stood with God before Jesus Christ. And that is what he's saying here in Ephesians 2, verse 11, that remember, he said, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You see, he is saying that a non-Christian, before knowing Christ and becoming a Christian, this is the relationship that we have. And the reason is because of sin in our lives, that each one of us is guilty of sin. And he's saying that we were without Christ. We were strangers. We had no hope. And we were without God in the world. A little bit earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verses 1 through 5, he also talked there about this previous destiny that we had. where were we on the course of ending up spiritually in our lives? I think some people today do not understand this, and that is why they are not more receptive to the gospel. But he said, you, he made alive, this is Ephesians 2 verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now they were not dead physically, but they were dead spiritually. And that is the spiritual condition of a person outside of Christ. He said, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The previous destiny that each one of us had outside of Jesus Christ was certainly that we had no future hope beyond this life, and that when we died, we would have died in sin, and we would have had to stand before God in judgment, knowing that we were separated from God. And the scripture is clear that when that happens, a person is going to spend eternity separated from God. We can picture it as it is here in this illustration, that because of sin having come into our lives, we stand separated from God and cannot cross over to God. Sin is a separation of each one of us in our lives with God. And the result of that, as he's saying here, is we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were not alive as far as God is concerned, because sin stood between us and God, and we were alienated from God. And so our previous pathway that we were traveling on in our life was that which Jesus describes in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, when he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. We were traveling that way if we were outside of Christ. And that is the broad path where most people today in the world find themselves. And it is headed for destruction, eternal destruction. In 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And this is what the Bible describes as hell, or Gehenna, where the fires do not end. And so we see that each one of us was on that path, and that it was headed to destruction, separation from God forever and ever. Again, if we illustrate that, look at the broad path where most people are traveling in their life. They can look around and they can say, well, this is where all of my friends are. This is where most people are. I'm living the way others are living in my life. And they may feel comfortable in that feeling that I'm doing what the majority of other people are doing and living the same way they are living. I'm a good person, many people would say. I am a good citizen. I'm a good neighbor. And yet, Jesus is saying that that is a path without God. That is a path without Christ. In order to enter the path that Jesus Christ is on, we must enter through the narrow gate. And there are not many traveling that path. It requires faith on our part. It requires commitment on our part to Jesus Christ. And let me just say that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And in order for us to stay on that path, we must continue to be living by faith and walking by faith. Because once we take our eyes off of Christ, we are going to return to living the way others around us are. And we're going to be right back on that broad path that leads to destruction. It's only when we walk by faith, and faith comes by hearing, the hearing of the Word of God. So I think it ought to go without saying to encourage each one of us that we need to be spending time daily in God's Word. Because that's where faith comes from. We do not get faith by watching television or paying attention to social media. Faith comes by the Word of God. And we need to spend time on a daily basis reading the Word of God. Teaching our children the Bible stories will help them to have faith in God. It's a narrow path that leads to life, that leads to eternal life with God. And so, what I'm saying this morning is, at what point and at what moment did your destiny change from walking the broad path to walking the narrow path with God? We find that God calls us to come to Him. And He calls us to see what His Son has given for us. In Romans 5, verse 6 through 8, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In other words, we were not living a life that deserved to be ending up going to eternal life. It was because God took a step of, He cared for us. He reached out to us. He sent His Son into this world when we were not serving God, when mankind was not serving God. And yet He was willing to give His life. He died for the ungodly. And that is what was unique. And no one else has ever done this, to die for the ungodly in the way that Jesus gave His life for us willingly. Because He loves us. He cares about us. He wants us to be saved and spend eternity with God. In Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16, He said to them, Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And here is how God calls us. God calls us through the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that is to be preached to all the world, telling the world that Jesus has done this. He has come and given His life for us as a sacrifice, and God has raised Him from the dead. This is good news, and through this message we can be saved. This is the message of Jesus Christ. This is the moment in which our destiny can be changed from destruction to life. It is how we respond to Jesus Christ, what He has done for us. What is our response to Him to demonstrate that we love Him and we believe in Him and we have faith and we want to follow Him in our lives? What is the moment that we can point to and remember when our destiny was changed? We find that it's in Christ that the place of blessing is. It's when we are able to know that we are in Christ that we can know that we enjoy those blessings of forgiveness of sins, of fellowship with God, and of the hope of eternal life and forgiveness of sins. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, he says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." And so here's a turning point in their lives. Here is the moment where they had been servants, slaves of sin, yet what they did, he said, "You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Now, what was that form of doctrine? It was the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and then he was raised from the dead. That is the doctrine that was delivered to us in the gospel, the good news, the message of Christ. He died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose from the grave on the third day. And we might say, he is coming again. So he says, "God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Now, he makes an interesting point here, very important, that you were slaves of sin, now you are slaves of righteousness. He doesn't say he set you free and you are free to do as you please, but now you are slaves of righteousness instead of before you were slaves of sin. So we see that the moment when our destiny changed was when we gave a positive response to Jesus Christ that led to this new relationship that we have now in Christ. It was our response to Jesus, to his message, that was rendered from our heart by faith, in which we demonstrated that we believe in him and we love him and we desire to follow him. What was that moment in our life when that took place? It was when we were baptized into Christ. Now, baptism doesn't happen if we do not have faith in Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3:27, he said, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." He identifies here for us the moment when we enter into Christ, when we are baptized into Christ. In the verse before this, in Galatians 3 and verse 26, he says that you are the children of God by faith. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. These people heard the gospel. They heard what Jesus had done for them in his death, burial, and resurrection. And they responded to him in faith. And as a result of that, they were baptized into Christ. And when they were baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. That's when their destiny changed. In Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, "Or do you not know?" He said that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So once again, he identifies here that we were baptized into Jesus Christ. We were baptized into his death, and that we were buried with him through baptism. And then it was possible that we could be raised from the dead with him and walk in newness of life. It is in the moment then that we are buried in baptism with Jesus Christ through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, and the power of salvation that lies in what he did for us. When we respond to that in our faith and we submit our life to him in baptism, we then are able to enter into a new life immediately when we, as we come forth out of those waters of baptism. We are united with Christ. And as a result, we now are no longer in sin. We are now in Christ. And the new man is born into this new life. He said, continuing in Romans 6 and verse 5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." We see then that Paul clearly identifies that you can know when your relationship with God changed and when the new life began. Your new position that you have now is you are in Christ and in the heavenly places in Christ. It's a heavenly realm, a spiritual realm that we are now able to be part of. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." See then that in Christ we enjoy all spiritual blessings. And again and again, the Apostle Paul emphasizes it's in him, it's through Christ that we have access to these blessings. And in Christ, we are actually now in the heavenly places with him. As Jesus was raised up and seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of God, we are raised up through baptism to a spiritual relationship where we also enter into this heavenly places with Christ. We have a relationship. We have a connection with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 4, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." This is our new destiny. Our new destiny is that we are now in heavenly places, but in ages to come we are going to see him showing forth the riches of his grace to the full extent, and we will enjoy that glory with Christ in eternity. What is our new destiny? We have a new Lord and Master. As he said in Romans 6, 16, you are that one slave whom you obey, sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. We now have a new master. Our master is Jesus Christ. It is no longer this world or the things of this world. We have a new family in John 1, verse 11 and 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So now we are sons of God. We're part of the family of God. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a new home. And that is, we are strangers and pilgrims here in this earth, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. We await that. We await when Jesus returns. He is going to transform our lowly body into a new glorious body like the one that we will see him with. And we will then be able to experience life with Christ in heaven. And what is it that changed us from that separation with God to where we now have access to come to God? It's Jesus. It's what he did for us. It's our faith in him that we can walk by faith in Christ. And we're no longer going to be separated and alienated from God. We can be reconciled and we can experience forgiveness of sins and all spiritual blessings in Christ. We can have this new life through Jesus Christ. And the Bible is so clear in explaining to us so that years in the future we can still look back and say, I know the moment when I entered into Christ. Because it was when I was baptized in Christ and when I, from the heart, obeyed that form of doctrine that was delivered to us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that changed my eternal destination. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 and 25, he said, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Now keep in mind that these blessings that we have come about when we abide in Christ. Jesus talks about in John chapter 15 that I am the vine and you are the branches, and that every branch that does not bear fruit he takes away. But he says, abide in me and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. It's absolutely essential that we abide in Christ in order that we continue to walk by faith and maintain that close relationship with Christ in which he sustains us and he holds us up and he prepares us for that home that he has in mind for us.